what it's going to be when we see the Lord. It's no wonder part of that is included in the blessed hope, isn't it? When we use that term, things like that are included. We're going to get to see our Lord and Savior. Wow, that's good stuff, isn't it? I was sorry you only sang one verse of that, Dick. I'll be honest with you, but that's okay. I've been disappointed on other things in life. All right. Okay. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we do just tell you how much we enjoy thinking about the future on the basis of what you have told us in your word. The hints, the truths, the little glimpses you have given. We know that you have blessed us with those things that you have taught us. I pray that you would even have this song service tonight and the truths of the songs that we sang be able to just settle down in our hearts, and may we remember some of those and perhaps hum and whistle or sing some of those songs in these coming days as the truth of the future thrills and fills our hearts. Lord, last week we started a message that we are talking about the future, and we were not able to finish it. And I pray tonight as we address that once again, you would be glorified. And as we go back to your word, I pray, Lord, that we would be faithful to your word. We would not misrepresent you and the truth of your word in any way. Give us what we need tonight. You know us. We thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that you have such a glorious plan for us, all at the cost of the life of your own dear Son. But how we praise you that he lives. His death was not the end. His death was truly the beginning of everlasting life, for we know that in 3 days he rose again, and we look forward to meeting up with him. Thank you now for this. In your name we pray. Amen. If you were with us last week, I trust you will remember we talked about things that I will never do, or you can personalize it, things that you will never do. And I said, does that tweak anybody's interest? And you recall we suggested a couple of things on the basis of God's word. One of them, the first one, is the fact that on the basis of the word of our Lord, the first thing is, you will never die spiritually. You will never die spiritually. And our verses were in John chapter 11, that familiar account where Jesus was at Lazarus' graveside and Martha actually came out, talked with him before he got to the graveside. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And, your brother, he's alive, he's going to live again. Well, I know in the resurrection, no. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me though he were dead, like your brother Lazarus right now, yet shall he live. This physical death that Lazarus has experienced, that's not the end of us. He'll live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me right now, Martha, you've never died yet. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You mean physically? No. It's appointed unto man once to die, Hebrews 9:27. But whoever lives and believes in me, has put their faith and trust in me, will never die spiritually. Physical death is not the end. That's just the beginning, isn't it? That's just the beginning for the believer. And so what a glorious truth we looked at last week. It was a truth that was embraced by the Old Testament saints. We made reference to Job in chapter 19. He knew that even though skin worms would destroy his body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Job knew that physical death was not the end, and even the Old Testament saints had the blessed assurance of everlasting life with God. Not the same as what we, not in the same teaching as we have in the New Testament times, but they had that blessed assurance. And so we find in Ephesians, we looked at Ephesians 2, there was a time when we were born into this world, we were born spiritually dead. But he, in Christ, through Christ, when we put our trust in him, he quickened us, he made us alive, never to die spiritually. That's number one thing that I will never do. I will never die spiritually as a Christian, and neither will you if you truly know the Lord as your own personal Savior. Take that thing home and mull that one over a little bit. That's good. Second thing we looked at, in John chapter 10, we looked at the truth that we will never perish. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. John 10:28. John 10:29. In 10:28, we find that John, the Lord mentioned, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In verse 28, 29, he said, my Father which gave these to me is even greater than I. Doesn't mean that he's more God than Jesus is, but in the position of the Godhead, we find the Father, we find the Son, we find the Holy Spirit, and we see that my Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The most familiar verse of all, John 3:16. Whosoever believeth in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. That was our second thing that we looked at, and then we ran out of time. So tonight we pick up with number three, if you're taking notes, as this is Things I Will Never Do, Part 2. If you still have your notes, fine. If not, you can just start some fresh ones. But we're calling this point number three tonight because it's the continuation. Revelation 21, verse 4 is our reference that we are looking at. Well, let's start at verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. There shall be no more sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So what is this third thing? The glorious eternal deliverance of the sorrows of this physical body. We will never, number three, suffer or cry. We'll never have another tear after this. Never be another pain, another ache. There will never be tears in our eyes. We will never have sorrow of heart. We know what that is, don't we? We experience life's tragedies. We go through the various stages of life, and we know that not everything is fun and games, is it? Since the introduction of sin into the human race, life has been a challenge, and we know that there are sorrows. We know that we are subject to sin, and we find that we many, many times create our own problems, our own difficulties. But I like these verses. That new heaven, that new earth in the new Jerusalem, when we're talking about the final state that God has prepared for us, look what won't be there, verse 4. No tears. No death, no sorrow, no crying, and there'll be no more pain. You know, when I look at this one, because we're human beings and we're on this side of glory, you know that to read this, I can't even contemplate what that might be like. Can you? I don't think. I mean, because all of these things in that fourth verse are so much a part of our lives on this side of glory. What is it going to be like when not one of these things? That's the beginning of our eternal day, beloved. Wow. Won't that be something? Again, just look at what will not be on your plate. And sometimes we talk about our plate is full with certain things in life, don't we? And some days they are. Let's look at it one more time. All tears wiped away from our eyes. It's interesting the way that John the Apostle wrote this. He says God is going to wipe away all the tears from their eyes. That's quite a thought, isn't it? There'll be no more death. This past week, one of our own taking home the glory right here from our church. Jerry's last remaining aunt taking home the glory. Tears. And rightly so. But one day, that no more death. Nobody will ever die in glory. Wow. That's something. No sorrow, No disappointments, no crying, and no more pain. As again, as I look at this, I think, I believe you, Lord. I see it's there, but I'm struggling trying to just imagine what that's going to be like and just kind of settling in. Oh boy, that's really going to be good. I can't imagine what that's like. Is that for everyone? No, that's only for the redeemed, beloved. Let me take you back to chapter 20. In contrast to what will never be true for a believer, and the fact that we will never suffer, weep, pain, die, look in Revelation 20, verses 10 through 15, what the unsaved have to look forward to. We start at verse 10 of Revelation 20. And the devil that deceived them, this is people that the devil went out in verse 7, he, when his 1,000 years of imprisonment in the bottomless pit are, by the way, what do these 1,000 years coincide with? The millennium. Satan will not be on the earth during the millennium. He will be bound in chains. But when the millennium is done, he's going to be loosed, verse 7, and he's going to be loosed out of his prison, and he's going to go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. We've mentioned it before, but I tell you again, the millennium is going to be a time when the Lord is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron, and he will not tolerate any resistance. He's not going to tolerate anyone that is against him. Where is the devil going to find people after 1,000 years of peace? It's going to be easy because he's going to have, all he's got to do is find people that just kept their mouths shut, just said, "Yes, sir, Jesus," but their heart was never with him. They were not resisting him physically, but they were not one of his own. They're going to toe the mark under his rule, under his reign for 1,000 years. But don't think that everybody is going to be a believer. There are people that are just going to know how to get along with the Lord, say what they need to say, do what they need to say. And when the 1,000 years are up, Satan is going to be loosed, and he is going to go to the four corners of the world. And look, it says that he is going to be able to gather together to battle against the Lord. The end of verse 8, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Just imagine. When that day takes place, Satan is going to go out, and he's going to have no trouble at all finding people. I've been waiting. I didn't want to obey the Lord. I want to overthrow him. I want to destroy him. Yes, I will join your army, Satan. They went up on the breadth of the earth, verse 9, compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. They're going to surround Jerusalem with an innumerable number of people that Satan is going to get on his side. But notice, fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now, let's pick up at verse 10, the verses I originally gave you. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. An earlier chapter shows us when the beast and the false prophet are cast into that lake burning with fire. And now Satan is going to be cast into that lake of fire and brimstone with them. And what do they have? They shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. I thought the lake that burned with fire and brimstone was hell. No, not if you're going to be true to the words of the book of Revelation. Death and hell will deliver up, empty out all of the souls that they have. And those were judged, verse 13, every man according to their works. And death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is the eternal resting place, if you want to call it a resting place, for the unsaved. Not hell, but the lake of fire. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is the eternal future of the unsaved ones, folks. What's that? That's misery. That's torment. According to the story of the rich man and Lazarus, that's fire, that's flame. That's if somebody could just put a drop of water on their fingertip so that I could get some cool on my tongue. That's the eternal picture, beloved. And in contrast, for those that know the Lord as their own personal Savior, our third point is we will never suffer, hurt, have another ache or pain eternally. We'll be in the presence of the Lord without all that was a part of this life. Well, if that doesn't excite you, I guess nothing will. But to me, what a great truth and what a great picture that is as we think of this third thing that we will never do when the time is right in the future. And let's look at our last one in the few minutes that we have remaining. What is the last one? The last one is probably something that there might be a few of you that you say, well, that sounds pretty good. Hopefully there's nobody here that's going to say, well, that's no big deal. But the last thing that I have chosen to highlight is we will never sin again. Can you imagine? We will never sin again. There's not a one of us that is going to argue how good sin is. We know it is against our Lord and Savior. We know it is sin which separated man from God originally in the Garden of Eden. We know that it is the source of all of our aches and our pains and our difficulties. We know it is the reason we die, because the wages of sin is death. But how many of you have stopped sinning? Could I see your hand? Why not? We're still in the flesh. We can't stop sinning yet, can we? Oh, I suppose somebody could argue theologically, well, we have the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, and He never leads us into sin. He brings us victory. But is there anybody that has ever lived the life the way that they ought to since they put their faith and trust in the Lord? Have you ever met one? Of course not. Let's just get down to basics. We struggle, don't we? And we're going to struggle as long as we draw breath and our heart beats. As long as we are on this side of glory, we are going to have a continual struggle with sin. Now, I know we don't have to positionally. Romans chapter 6, that's a great passage. I've preached on it. Jonathan has taught it. Positionally, I died in Christ unto sin. Positionally, Christ, when they put Him in the grave, I was buried in Christ unto sin. And positionally, on the third day, I rose victorious over sin in Christ. I know all that. But yet we're still in the flesh, aren't we? We are to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Christ. That's all Scripture truth. But we still sin. We still sin. The best of the saints of God this side of glory, they still have sin they have to confess. But a day is coming when we will never sin again. Sin will be gone. Revelation 21, 27. Well, it's talking about that new Jerusalem. Notice verse 25 of 21. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But in that heavenly home, in that new Jerusalem, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or evil or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Is your name written there, beloved? Praise God. Look at chapter 22 and verse 15. Outside the city are dogs. You say, I didn't know there were going to be animals there. It'd be nice if that's what they were referring to. But if you do a detailed study in the Old Testament, you're going to discover that a dog is another term for a sodomite. And we find that in the Old Testament, you find this clearly, that you do not bring the hire of a dog into the temple. That was Old Testament principle. And that wasn't a German shepherd or a cocker spaniel. That was the name that's given to male prostitutes, sodomites. Well, isn't that interesting when we think about our day and age in which we live? And our last Sunday morning's message a week ago, how that we talked about what a wacky world we live into with this, or live in with this transgender. And the 2 weeks before that, the homosexual agenda and what impact it's having on our world. But you know, they can have their parades and they can wave their rainbow flags all you want to, but you know, outside of heaven, inside heaven, you won't find a one of them, because outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the whoremongers, the murderers, the idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. We close this with John's precious words. How is this all possible? How can you say for sure, Pastor, that we won't sin in glory? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, we have sung this song. First John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, especially, we sing verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. There's doctrinal, positional truth. Right now, if you know the Lord as your own personal Savior, you can take that one to the bank. Now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know everything about the future. He hasn't shown that to us, as Dick was talking about earlier in our song service. He hasn't given us all the answers, but we know, here's something we do know, that when He shall appear, we shall what? What's the words? Be like Him. In what way? Is he a sinner? Does he sin? No, we are going to be like him. Positionally, Romans 6, it's already happened, but we have trouble realizing it. But when he appears, we're going to see him. We're going to be like him, and we're going to see him exactly as he is. And when that day comes, you and I will never sin. So in closing, to review these two Sunday evenings, things you or I will never do, thanks to the salvation that is ours by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We will never die spiritually. We will never perish or cease to be or just have eternal torment like the unsaved. We will never ever suffer, cry, no pain, sickness, limitations ever again. And the last one, we will never sin. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Hey! Can you go to the piano and we sing that 1 John 3, 2, Jerry? 1 John 3, 2. Since you don't have the piano folded up yet, let's sing it. If you need it, open it up. Hopefully the New King James will be close enough that you can get to it.